Bam bam ba dum ba da 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 da. I'm definitely gonna start every episode with that now. The fact that I haven't up until this point really makes me sad. Hey everyone, how's it going? Welcome back to Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. I don't know what part this is, to be completely honest, but that's fine. We're getting right back into it with the story. For those of you who are new to the series, this is where I retell Harry Potter movies, basically, from memory. Strictly from memory, without watching the movies for some time. I'm going to get some stuff wrong. I'm going to get some stuff right. That's kind of the fun of it. How much can I get right just from my memory? If you are new to the series, I highly recommend watching the first two movies, like the audios for them, or even the films themselves, before you start this one. But if you don't really care, then be my guest. Jump in wherever you like. Last week, I recall, or I guess when we did this last, I think the last scene I had was Harry leaving the room after the housekeeper basically opens the door and is yelled at by some kind of magical creature, and then is like, all right, I'll come back later, and she walks away, and then you see Scabbers and being chased by Crookshanks around the Leaky Cauldron. I believe. So Harry's basically leaving the room. He sees Crookshanks chasing Scabbers and just falls after the animals heading down the stairs, which basically hears a conversation as he heads down, which is one of my favorite things this movie does. It's a really common like movie technique. It's an editing technique where you have sound before picture, where you have like, where they do it a bunch of times. I love it. It's just a really nice little, film technique that's just thrown in there. And you'll notice it quite a bit in this movie. I mean, you notice it in a lot of movies, but I think this movie has a really good use of it. Anyway, so Harry's going down the stairs and he hears Hermione and Ron arguing. I think Ron calls Crookshanks like a pig with hair, and like I think Hermione calls Scabbers like a hairbrush or something, and like insults Ron as the owner. So anyway, they're going at it because the cat's about to eat the mouse, and Harry shows up, and then Ron looks over Hermione's shoulder and goes, "Oh, Harry!" And they both turn, like, all happy to see Harry. And then we cut to a shot of the Daily Prophet. It's a clipping of the Daily Prophet where you see Ron's entire family, the Weasleys, in Egypt, celebrating something. They're just kind of, I think they were just for holiday. They just went there for holiday. I don't know why they made the paper, but I think Hermione retorts like, you know, the Egyptians used to worship cats, you know. And then Ron goes, and the dung beetle. And then Fred and George come around from upstairs, and they go, oh, you're showing more people the clipping. And he goes, no one. He's like, not a soul, except if you count the wizard from Belgium, the night maid, the day maid, the cook, and like all these other people that Ron has clearly been showing the newspaper clipping to. And as they're kind of retorting to each other, Arthur Weasley, Mrs. Weasley comes down first, and she like grabs Harry by the shoulders and like, oh, is everything good, honey? You know, you have all your books. Are you ready? She's very maternal with him, which is lovely. That's like, Harry needs that. I'm glad there's someone who's being maternal with Harry, this poor kid. and then Arthur Weasley like steps in and he's like, and pulls Harry to the side. He's like, I have to have a real serious conversation with you. And he kind of takes him into this alcove behind the main dining area. They're all in the main dining area of the Leaking Cauldron. He goes a bit to the side alcove, and he kind of takes Harry's side. He's like, there's a lot of people in the ministry that wouldn't want me to be talking to you about what I have to tell you. And he like moves Harry a little bit. How much do you know about Sirius Black? And then Harry's like, not a whole lot. I mean, like, he murders people. And then Arthur goes, basically explains to Harry that Sirius Black worked for you know who, which he like stumbles to say Voldemort. He goes, when, and then he takes a pause, and then Harry goes, Voldemort? And he goes, no, do not say his name. When you know who, because it is still that kind of fear in Arthur. And I think they come to the conclusion that Sirius Black is trying to kill Harry Potter, is what Arthur tells Harry. And he tells Harry, no matter what, don't go looking for Sirius Black. And Harry's like, why would I go looking for someone who wants to kill me? And I think Arthur Weasley also says, no matter what you hear, which I think is an important thing, like, no matter what you hear, don't go looking for Sirius Black. And then they kind of do this push-in on Harry. This whole sequence is really neat. The camera's basically, it's a one-er the whole time, and the camera's kind of tracking Harry as he gets more and more alone in the sequence, and the last shot is just a solo singlet shot of Harry's face, followed by like a sound cue of the train whistle as we do a hard cut to the Hogwarts Express, where you see Mrs. Weasley carrying Scabbers in her hand, and she goes, "Ron, Ronald, Ronald," and she hands him to Ron, who's out the window. "Don't lose him," and the train goes away. And then we cut to the interior of the Hogwarts Express, where Harry, Ron, and Hermione are looking for a compartment to basically relax until the train reaches Hogwarts. Each compartment they see is basically full, and throughout the time they're searching, there's this conversation being had about how Harry blew up his aunt, which, not really exactly right. He didn't explode her. I wish they used, like, he inflated her, his aunt. I don't know. I think that would have been a better choice of word. But Ron's like, "That's so cool." And Hermione's like, "You could have been expelled." And Harry's like, "Well, I could have been arrested. So, you know, all things considered, this isn't too bad." And they kind of come upon a compartment that only has one man in it. He has this cloak draped over his entire body. He seems asleep. So they figure, well, might as well go in here. So the party goes in there, and they, Ron, I think, asks, "I wonder who that guy is." And then Hermione goes, "Oh, that's Professor R.J. Lupin." And then Ron's like, "God, she knows everything." And I think Hermione like points to the, "No, Ronald, it's on the suitcase." And then Harry goes, "Do you guys really think he's asleep?" I think they go, "Yeah, I think so." "Great, because I have a lot to tell you." And he slams the door shut. And then we cut forward in time. And then, I think you start with a medium close-up of Ron leaning against the window. It's raining. And he goes, "Sirius Black wants to kill you." And then I think Hermione goes, "But everyone's looking for him. There's no way he'd get away, you know." And then Ron's like, "Yeah, but he did escape Azkaban, and he's a raving, murdering lunatic." And Harry's like, "Thanks, Ron." And then all of a sudden the Hogwarts Express comes to a screeching halt, and everyone is jostled, power goes. And then Hermione goes, "Ow, Ron, my foot." Which, what are you doing, Ron? Why have you stepped? How have you stepped on her foot? It's been black for like 10 seconds, and you haven't gotten up. What's going on, Ron? I think he was just trying to play footsie with Hermione. So everyone's kind of panicked. Harry goes, I guess we must have broken down or something. And he gets up and like opens the compartment door, and then the train jostles again. He falls backwards. And then all of a sudden you can see like this creeping. Oh, no, I think there's a shot of Ron putting his hand on the glass and looking out the window. And then we cut through the window out to the exterior of the ship, or not the ship, the train. perched over this bridge, and it's all dark and rainy. And then we push back in on the train again, and we go to the interior, where now you can see spider webs of ice creeping up the glass, not only on the interior but on the exterior. And all of them are like, their breath is now cold and frosty, and they're very chilly. They start getting a little bit worried. The bottle of water that sat beside the window now freezes solid over. And there's like an ominous humming or sound, as you can see this ghostly apparition-like figure, this hooded, cloaked Dementor, coming through the hallway. All you really see at first is like the wisps of its cloak as it rounds in front of the compartment door. It uses its spectral, like, crypt, ghostly hand to open the compartment door. And then, like, it looks around. You can see Scabbers and Crookshanks are totally terrified by the presence of this beast. Even Hermione and Ron go pale. And it looks at all three of the people, or all four, I suppose, because it does examine Lupin for but a moment before turning to Harry. And it makes contact with Harry. And it just starts doing this, like, thing where it's like, I don't know, it's like trying to suck his soul. I mean, that is what it's trying to do. It's trying to suck Harry's soul. So Harry's getting his soul sucked, which isn't good. I don't think his friends don't know what's happening. He doesn't know what's happening. He just feels his soul getting sucked out of his body. And when shit is getting real bad, we have a close up of RJ Lupin's eyes as they shoot open, as he jumps to his feet and then casts a spell, which creates like a large wispy white shield that projects or pushes the Dementor away. The Dementor flies back, and then you hear this like operatic kind of scream that goes, "Harry!" as Harry faints from the Dementor encounter. Which, before we get any further, I really do want to circle back on this Dementor encounter, because it's a real problem, I think, like, as a parent. Because if, let's just imagine for just one moment, if we shall, that Harry wasn't in that compartment, that he picked any other compartment and sat there, that boy would be dead. That is a dead boy. No one's going to help him. No, like there would be no teachers to save him, to cast that spell. He would have, like, the train would have arrived in Hogwarts. Hermione and Ron would have been deeply traumatized, and they would just have a dead boy just before school even starts. Why are they using Dementors? Like, I just never understood that. Like, I feel like everyone's under the consensus that Dementors are dangerous and terrible creatures. It almost feels like you're guarding your house from burglars with tigers. You know? Sure, it's hard to break into a house that's full of tigers. But it's also hard to live in a house full of tigers. Maybe don't fill your house with Dementors. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like even Dumbledore is just like, I just don't understand. Because they later on in the movies, they show like better ways of defending the castle than Dementors. But yet with the support of the Ministry of Magic, the largest governmental organization, they don't use it. I don't know. It befuddles me. But yeah, every time I see that scene, I'm just like, wow. If Lupin isn't there, that's like Harry Potter's just dead. You know, he's just a dead character. Like, there's nothing to save him. Like, nothing could save him. There's no student on that train knows how to cast a Patronus spell. Like, later on, it's learned that, like, Harry being able to cast a Patronus spell in the third year is fucking bonkers. And, like, even in the fifth year when they learn Patronus, like, that shit's apparently crazy. Like, usually you learn Patronus, I guess, when you're much, much older. Or maybe never at all. Like, maybe that's not, like, a... Like, magic schooling seems really, like, loose. It doesn't seem like there's, like, a solid curriculum, you know? Like, in real school, they're like, by fourth grade, you should be doing this. Like, I wonder what the equivalencies are in a magical school. But anyway, I digress. So, upon Harry fainting, he wakes up and he sees Lupin basically offering chocolate to him. He goes, you know, take it, chocolate. It'll make you feel better. Like, the whole scene is just Lupin offering Harry chocolate and Harry just not accepting this chocolate. Like, he has it, he just doesn't eat it until Lupin basically left. Harry goes, well, like, he wakes up basically on his side. He has, like, Hermione hands him his glasses. He puts them on, he gets up, he, like, takes a bite of, like, gets handed the chocolate. And he goes, what was that? Dementor, guard of Azkaban, says Lupin. And Harry goes, ah, okay. And then he goes, eat the chocolate. It'll make you feel better. Anyway, I gotta have a little talk with the conductor of the train. And then he, like, leaves. And then Harry, like, turns to his friends after taking a bite of the chocolate and goes, Did you guys hear that woman's voice? The scream? And Hermione's like, there was no woman screaming, Harry. Which, Hermione, you've heard Harry talk so many times about hearing shit that wasn't there. And it turns out that shit was there, you know? Like, last year, he was saying he heard voices in the wall. And you were like, Harry, that's not okay for wizards to hear voices in the wall. But Harry's like, I'm hearing voices, and no one's, like, validating it until it was too late, and he was right. It was a snake in the wall. So, like, if I was Hermione, I would probably examine a little bit closer that when my friend's like, I'm hearing voices again, I'll be like, oh, shit, lay it out. What's going on? I need to know. Like, you're batting 100 right now. I don't want to question you. Like, I don't know why people question him. Like, even in the next movie, like, I don't understand. Like, Harry is probably the most reliable testimony of a child. Like, I mean, from our objective viewpoint, we can confirm this. But, I mean, even as an adult, first movie, saves the Sorcerer's Stone. Second movie, kills massive snake. Nothing really important happens in the third movie in terms of, like, him doing something impressive that it will impress the adults. But those two first things, super impressive. Like, as a child resume, if I could be like, I stopped a heist and then also killed a giant monster. Like... I don't know. I just don't know how the adults don't view Harry just completely differently. I don't know why you question this boy. I would never question Harry ever. I'd be like, yeah, I don't know. That seems like you seem like you're on the level. I don't know. All right. So anyway, they after Harry realizes that no one else heard the screaming woman go, Harry, he basically goes on those little carriages, and we get this great shot of the sign that says Hogwarts and Hogsmeade. So you can see the way to Hogsmeade Village as the carts are going up to the castle. It's raining again. There's a lot of rain motifs here. And you hear the double, double, boil and trouble, or fires burn and goblins bubble, double, trouble, toil and trouble, something wicked this way comes. Yeah, that whole song, which is great. And I think the first time I saw this movie, I kind of hated it, but it has grown on me, unfortunately. So yeah. So they sing the song and then they part ways. I don't know what the frogs are about, but that's fine. Or I guess toads. They're just giant toads some of the students are holding. But the sea of these choir students part, and Dumbledore just, like, shows up. This is new Dumbledore, by the way. Sadly, old Dumbledore has passed away. So this is now... I don't remember the name of the actor. It'll come to me at some point. Anyway, so this is new Dumbledore. And he basically goes, "Welcome to another year of Hogwarts." And then he introduces Professor R.J. Lupin, Professor of Defense Against the Dark Arts. And then they cut to, like, Harry and Hermione and Ron sitting at the table. And behind them is Malfoy, who goes, "Potter, Potter." And then Harry turns around and he goes, "Is it true you fainted?" And then the guy next to him goes, and does, like, a fake fainting thing. "Is it true? Is it true you fainted?" And Harry turns around, like, Hermione gives Malfoy looks and goes, "Don't listen to them." And then you hear Dumbledore talk about, like, some dude enjoying the remaining time he has with the limbs he has or something. He's like, ex-professor has decided to spend the remaining time enjoying the limbs he has remaining. Which I'm like, oh my god, what? I thought magic could, like, regrow limbs. But that's fine. And then he goes on to say, "And so Professor Rubeus Hagrid will be taking over as teacher of beasts and magical creatures or something. Or fantastic beasts and where to find them or something along those lines." And, like, everyone's clapping. McGonagall kind of pumps Hagrid in, like, a way to be like, "Good job." But I think he misinterprets it and, like, just stands up. The whole table goes shaking and everyone's like, "Whoa." And then everyone starts clapping harder because it's hilarious. "Ah, we love you, Hagrid." And so everyone's freaking out. And then after that, Dumbledore goes, "And a word of warning to everyone." And, like, and goes, like, "Dementors are terribly vicious creatures. They will, don't give them any reason to harm you." Which, again, you have, like, I don't even know. Like, I don't know how young these kids are. But Harry was hella young in the first movie. I bring you back to my sea tiger analogy for why I am disturbed here. Because you can't just be like, "Hey, kids. We have a bunch of dangerous animals just loose on the property. They're here to defend you, but don't give them any reason to murder you. Anyway, moving on. Back to your studies." Like, what? If my kid was magical and they got their letter from Hogwarts, I'd be like, "Listen, buddy, I love you. I love you a lot. But I think we should really consider magical homeschooling." And they'd be like, "Why, Dad?" I'd be like, "Well, I don't know. Hogwarts has a terrible track record of keeping children safe, and I think I could do a way better job." Like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you're not going to magic school. You're staying at home. Or you're going to, like, Durmstrang or something. I don't know. I'm not sending you to Hogwarts. That school has so many problems. Like, it's systemic issues there at Hogwarts. So Dumbledore goes on about how dangerous dementors are, and then he does this thing about, he, like, puts his hand across, like, the candle and goes, and, like, outs it and goes, "But you'll find sometimes there's light in unexpected places," or something along those lines. And he, like, adds light back to the candle, and then we cut away. And I think that's a good place to stop. We basically have left the Great Hall scene, and we're going to jump into this year of Hogwarts, full of dementors and horrors, which, man, this might be the roughest year for Harry. Like, I think the first 2 years were, like, physically tough for Harry because he was so banged up. But this is the first time a year is emotionally going to be hard for Harry. I mean, even the first years were hard for Harry emotionally. God, this poor kid. This poor, poor kid. I don't know. I don't know. I think the more I like, ponder and, like, think about Harry Potter, the sadder I get for Harry Potter. Like I'm like, just like, oh, my heart just breaks for this child. Anyway, if you know in the series, let me know. And let me know how well you think I did in the scenes. We're going to finish it, hopefully, this month. But yeah, I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you have a great rest of your day, and I'll talk to you all later. Bye now.